Good morning, and God bless you. Scott, if you could just go with me all over the nations and do exactly what you did, we just saved loads of time by giving that intro. That just covered 25 years right there, what's been going on. It's great to see a lot of familiar faces, and it's great to see more faces that I don't know. And I see loads of people that I would have tracked with to some degree over the years. I do call her Aunt Jane. And she is a very good aunt. She's she loves me, and I was her first niece, and we have loads of great history together. But if you're in my bloodline or married into my bloodline, will you just raise your hand? I've got family here. That includes you, Aunt Jane. Yeah, and I'm so grateful for a family that in 25 years of full-time ministry, my family has always really stood by me and stuck behind me. And I never get to preach with family, so it's a real honor that they made the effort to be here today, and I'm really grateful. So that's my sister and my first cousin, Jana, and her husband, Nick. So I'm really glad that they're all here. So, yes, that hat of pastor is not a hat that I ever looked after, and I'm regularly asking for volunteers when I preach. If you feel called to the very south of Ireland to pastor a church, when the church emerged, when that came forth, I was in some of you all will remember over the years some pastors out of Victory, Dublin, the Hades, Brendan and Sheila Hades. If that doesn't mean anything to you, it's okay. But I was under that church and worked with that church for the first 3 years that I was in Ireland, and still work with that church where we speak on a regular basis. It's a great church that I've relationally built with. And so that's where I'm always looking to see where Jesus is asking me to relationally build. Because when we look at what we possibly have called church, certainly one of the things that has happened through the pandemic and through the changes that are taking place in this epoch of time is that we are seeing the holes in what we called church and what we said was good. God is saying, I'm no longer signing off on that. And so this is an incredible time to be walking on the earth and to be doing a part that no other generation has had the opportunity to do. And that is that the restructure and the deconstruction of what we call church is now unfolding in front of us. And in that time, in this place of transition, it is uncomfortable, it is uncertain, and there will be two groups upon the earth within the ecclesia, that is the church worldwide. So we see the usage of the word ecclesia used 114 times within the scriptures. So that's not talking about just believers fellowship, or that's not talking about just Cary Christian Church, but God is speaking to the ecclesia. He is saying, this is my church. This is the church that has removed the labels, that has removed that pigeonhole place that the church has gone into and said, this is church. And God now is saying, I no longer sign off on that. And so it is this time that leaders worldwide and especially prophets and apostles that I would track with, we are beginning to say things to each other like, I'm not sure what that looks like where we're going into because we don't know. We are in a place as prophets saying we are looking for the pureness of the directives of God. We are factoring out every single thing that has tainted the voice of the prophet to go in and do what the voice of the prophet is to do. And that is to bring correction, to bring comfort, and to bring consolation to the church. So this is different. You sound like you're extremely well-schooled in the very foundational truths of the scripture. So we're not talking about the prophetic gifting here. We're talking about the office of the prophet. And in that place of the office of the prophet, this is that man or that woman that God is giving very specific directives to see the reshaping of what you and I have called church. So it's an exciting time to be there, and we will begin to see more and more of two groups emerge. We'll begin to see groups emerge that will say, this is what God is doing. We've come through the pandemic. We got through that. Let's regroup now and do the very same thing that we've done before. Old wineskin, we're going to rearrange the chairs. We're going to change the set list up a bit. But this now, we're back on our feet and we've caught our breath and this is what we're going to do. And you'll see that God won't sign off on that any longer. There won't be a grace on it. But what you will see is something I believe that we're beginning to see, not in just one particular nation. So I don't come to you as a prophet from the British Isles, which that Ireland is not a part of the British Isles. We are Ireland. We make up 26 counties. The six counties ahead of us are rather geographically on top of us. That makes up the UK. They're a part of the UK. They're a part of the United Kingdom. The 26 below, when you think about Ireland, if you look at a hand, it is an island, and we are this whole bottom part of what you and I think of Ireland. Northern Ireland makes up those six counties. So when I use the term British Isles, that is not a political term. It's a geographical term. If you look it up in Wikipedia, you'll see that. You won't need your Strongs to make that out. If you look that up, the British Isles represent England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and a load of other little tiny islands. So as a prophet coming to you from the British Isles, I would say this isn't something that's coming from a European viewpoint or from a British Isles viewpoint, but actually what we're beginning to see in this deconstruction and this understanding of what is happening with church. What is really happening? I mean, actually, could you go through the last 2 years of what we've gone through and want to go back to what you and I called norm? I mean, it was actually quite boring. And there was very little power upon it. There was very little demonstration of what Jesus said. There is a generation who will come and they will work in signs, miracles, and wonders, and it will be greater than even me. He spoke to the disciples and he said, there's this generation coming. And I believe that we are that generation. I believe what is happening, but this is where, as the Western church, and when I speak of the Western church, that refers to North America, that also refers to us in Europe. What we're understanding is that we're not leading out. It's not us that's leading out. It's actually our brothers and sisters in Nepal. They're the ones that are leading out. And the Western church is being asked to come into this place of humility. How low will you go before the Lord God? It's the Eastern church that Jesus is saying, I choose them. They're willing to go low before me. And it has nothing to do about economic debates that we could go into. This isn't about economy. This is about hearts. This is about a heart that is willing to go into a place of humility. That what I've seen in my own life, forget prophet, forget pastor, forget ministry, forget all of that. Because Galatians 4 calls me this and calls you this. You are a son. And so that's another part of our, and that's not to say that the purpose of Fivefold is so necessary. And we will see those really healthy churches. And I believe this is one of those churches that we can look and we can see all Fivefold offices in operation. If not, that's the kind of thing that's happening in my own camp. We're looking at that and we're saying, wait a minute, we've got a gap here. And we believe that that model is put in place for the true health and the strength and the hardiness of the church because of where the church is going. See, we'll lead out. The church will lead out. Politics won't lead out. Culture won't lead out. The church always leads out. Jesus always leads out. He's always going to be in front. So he's looking to who is going to be in those two groups. The group that is happy with status quo, is okay with being comfortable, is saying, no, this feels right because we've just come through this shaking. this shaking that we're getting ready to go for, it must happen. It must come into a place because you and I were signing off on something that is substandard to what kingdom living is. We allowed other agendas to come in and influence a kingdom that is above all other kingdoms. And we called it kingdom. See, anything that we can look at is, I was praying, I've been staying out on the West End, just beyond Jamaica Beach, this side of Jamaica Beach. And I live in a place in rural Ireland that it's easy to go to, it's easy to get to spots where there's no artificial light. So I have loads of Abraham moments when you look up and you feel like you could just scoop stars. And so I do like that about being out where I've been staying, just getting up super early before the sun's up and just sitting out there and looking at stars and listening, sitting with Jesus, learning to sit with Jesus, learning to be quiet with him, learning to rest with him, learning to lead in a way that I've never led before. He's out front. You're in my gaze, Jesus. I only do and say and breathe and go and exchange and interact where you ask me to do and go and say and interchange and exchange and interact. You're in my gaze, Jesus. What I realized is that I had a Sunday school Jesus for most of my adult life in place. What I realized was that Jesus was in a place in my heart and life, forgetting ministry. I'm talking about sonship here from Galatians 4. And what I realized was that I called myself a son, but I actually acted as a slave. And slaves have partnered up with something called orphan mindset. And so orphan mindset is always looking for their own identity in something else. And orphan line, the approval of man is super important for orphans. And maybe you're thinking, no, I know who both my parents are. I'm not an orphan. No, this is a mindset that slaves have whenever they're looking for provision, they're looking for platform, they're looking for approval, they're looking for one-upmanship. They always have to be right in every argument, in any conversation. They're always looking for that. And Jesus is saying, I am looking for the church that truly understand what it means to be a son. Because a son does this. A son speaks as the Father. And when Jesus was questioned again and again, who are you? What are you doing? And why are you here? He gave the same answer again and again. I'm only here at the ask of my Father. I am the son of a king. I am the son of God. And I only do and say what he would ask me to do and say. So when you cross over into true sonship, that you would walk out your life as a son, not as a slave. What you'll find is that sometimes you'll be offensive. You'll probably not be very popular. It rarely goes along with political correctness. And it's not anything on the realm of status quo. And so as I've been out looking at stars and talking with Jesus in this place of intimacy, I was asking him, what's the word for this church? What's the word for this for these people? That's why you have prophets in. You don't have prophets in because you're hoping that everybody gets a nice pat on the back. Not a true prophet. A prophet worth their salt will come in and do the business. Will come in and do heaven's business. So let's do heaven's business. And for everyone who's nervous right now, Jesus will never embarrass you. But he will make you uncomfortable. And he will ask you for what you didn't feel that you had to give. And he will ask you to go into the fire. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, you are in the right place at the right time, hearing the right word. And maybe you're thinking, wait a minute. And there's some overprocessors in the room going, she's going to need to back herself up scripturally. She's going to need to give me some doctrine on this. Just let it go. For just a moment, I'm not telling you to let the word go. You won't hear anybody back themselves up or stand on the word like I will. I'm from the buckle of the Bible Belt. I always back myself up. But let's just go into this place of the freedom of a creator of every way that he could have introduced himself. He deliberately introduces himself as a creator. And let's just go to this place for just a moment that maybe we have way underestimated who God is and how he wants to demonstrate. And so when we're worshiping and we're saying to ourselves, God, I just want to do what you want me to say. I just want to be who you want me to be. Maybe it is that God is saying, how low will you go then? Will you humble yourself? Will you go prostrate before me? Will you come into this place and give up title and give up position and just say, I just want to be called a son. That's who I am. I am a son. So I do and I go and I am. And you know what? So I'm just thinking about sometimes when we think about, you know, even that pastor's wife that gave the silver chain. Sometimes when we think about walking out a call or serving Jesus in another place, in Ireland or Nepal or whatever, we think, yeah, but you don't understand. We've got it different here. I know, because I used to sit there and think those same things. Oh, well, it would be really easy to follow Jesus in Ireland. I mean, or, well, look, they don't have as many distractions in Nepal. Everything is in perspective, and the enemy has this one three-part plan to kill, steal, and destroy. So it's all going forth, whether you're in North America, whether you're in Wales or wherever. I'm telling you, I go to all those places. He's looking to prowl and see who he can take out. So just don't participate. Don't partner with that idea. But let's get it back to this point of what does God want to do in my heart and life? You won't hear anybody preach about promise and breakthrough as much as I do. But I'm looking to give out a word that causes you to be mature, sharpened, and fired up about what is keeping you from stepping into that place. Or you'll be singing that same song in a year from now and won't have any fruit to show for it. Is that really what you want? That's why you have the prophet that comes in. The prophet comes in and you either say, either she's in love or she's not in love. Jesus love. Is she in Jesus love? Can I hear his tone on her? Can I hear that? Or no, I can't. So I can disregard it because you have to have love. Paul was clear on that. So what I would say is I've been sitting out underneath the stars and I've been praying. And I said, what's the word for this church? He said, the word for this church is the word, not specifically for this church, but this is the word that I'm giving to you to give out. You'll never step into that place of the true promise and breakthrough if you have partnered to any degree with any tripwire, any tether, any string of two things he told me, a religious spirit or a political spirit. If you've partnered up with either, it will keep you from the fullness of what he has for your life. Because you're not wrong on this. What he's promised you, he is well able. You did not miss it. Whatever prophetic word went out, whatever you have stood in faith for, whether it's health, whether it's a financial breakthrough, whether it's reconciliation of a marriage, whether it is anything that you have said, but Lord Beth, you don't know how many years it's been. And now I'm even starting to question, God, is that really you? Yes, it is. His promises are good. Every good and perfect gift comes from him and him alone. And what you heard and what you have believed for, you didn't miss it. But where you have missed it is you have knowingly or unknowingly partnered with a religious spirit or a political spirit or possibly both. And they're usually tied into each other. And if you're sitting there and thinking, we're Word of Faith, we're charismatic, we absolutely have not partnered with a religious spirit. You probably have. Because when a prophet gives a word out like that, the first thing that I do when I hear a condition being given out, the first thing I do as a son is go, is that me? I don't go to the place of, that's not me. I go to the place of, Holy Spirit, is that me? Have I stepped over into whatever it is? If something's being confronted with pride or jealousy, if something's been, whatever word of prophecy is going out, as soon as it goes out, I don't say to myself, well, that's not me. The first thing I do is I go before the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, I can't judge myself. I'm not called to judge myself, but you are that light. You are that torch. Am I partnering knowingly or unknowingly with a religious spirit or with a political spirit? Because any of those isms, political ism, religiosity, which is an ism, is an I-T-Y, but flow with me here. Any of those things, they're lesser. They're lesser. And so if you're going to, and as I was before Jesus this morning, and he was like, give it, give it, give it, because it has caught them. They're snared. This is a group I can use, Laura Beth. This is a group who love me. This is a group. These are sons who are well able to move, but they're caught. Go release them with this word. And so this is a word where I know what America's gone through. I know the blow that America has taken. Like, my heart's not here. My heart, Jesus transplanted it to another place, and not by he didn't ask for my vote on it. My vote was that I would be in a Spanish-speaking country for the rest of my life. You don't go to 4 months of language school in Antigua, Guatemala, thinking, oh, I'm going to be living in the very south of Ireland. That's where I'm going to go. I mean, I use Spanish a few times a year when I'm playing a round of golf in Spain. It wasn't my plan to go where I thought I was called to. So what do we do? So we're sitting here and we're thinking, am I in a political spirit? Have I partnered with a political spirit? Have I partnered with a religious spirit? So God gave me some very specific things a year before the elections in America. And I have spoken publicly about this. And he said, do not touch it. Don't touch it. It's a lesser kingdom, Laura Beth. It's not for you. And I am asking you to step aside. Be my true prophet. Speak nothing into it. Don't touch it. Watch what will happen. That's what God told me to do. I was asked, especially as an American prophet in Europe, I was asked my opinion. I did not give my opinion. Do I have opinions? Absolutely. Did I vote? Absolutely. But he asked me not to participate in what I would see unfold. And by doing that, what it allows you to do is it allows you to hear purely from God that I'm not moved by agenda. I'm not moved by politics. I'm not moved by emotion. I'm not moved by numbers. I'm not moved. So I set myself over here. Was I aware of it? Did I know about it? Have I seen it all unfold? Absolutely. But it's still a lesser kingdom. It's not a kingdom that I'm subject to. I'm only subject to one kingdom. My true citizenship has nothing to do with America. It has nothing to do with Ireland. My true citizenship is in this place that Jesus has said, how low will you go? How low will you submit yourself? How low will you, what I will ask for you will be things that you have never asked. And so as you start to feel the uncomfortableness, because I can feel it on you, lots of prophets are feelers. And we've been taught in the American church, especially, that emotions are not a good thing. Well, who do you think gave you your emotions? I just don't let my emotions rule me, but I'm fully able as his son to be able to feel the emotions and go through it. He's just the one that I'm looking to help me whenever I have those emotions rise up. And I'll just tell, and this is not me trying to, as we would say in Ireland, I'm not trying to show all my medals here, but this is just the process of what happens when an orphan starts to get healed. They can begin to speak about what it means to actually walk in a place of freedom as a son and not an orphan. And so what I'm giving you is this opportunity that God is saying, you have been ensnared, and I'm not calling anyone out. I'm not calling anyone out because he didn't show me that. I do have some words to give, but they're really good. But this is the word that God is wanting, and I hope you feel the weight of it because it's not my word. I don't know the last time I preached in Texas. I know every time I preach in Texas, Lee is taking up an offering or doing ushering. So I know I don't preach in Texas that Lee isn't there and Aunt Jane. So I just want to say to you, you can walk out of here the very same, but I wouldn't, unless you're good with status quo. Unless you're good with singing about the promises of God, singing about breakthrough, and you're willing to sing those same songs a year from now. I believe that there are those in here who are tired of it, and I'm giving you a way out. I'm not. I'm only the mouthpiece, but God is giving you a way out. He is saying you have knowingly or unknowingly ensnared yourself with a religious spirit and a political spirit. And this would be a day that as you hear this, we're still not even to my notes, which I kind of knew. I knew last night, I go, Terry asked me for scripture references today, but to be able to give to the, who's the AV guy? Sorry, we probably aren't going to go there. I kind of knew that when she said, do you have any scriptural references? And I thought, I've got notes and I've got scripture references. I'll send them to you, but I'm not sure that we'll actually go there. That's not the sense I had from the Holy Spirit. I do want to look at one passage of scripture. If you do want to pull up Ezekiel 37, 1 through 7, so everyone can breathe. It's fine to breathe. And here's the other good news. I fly back to Oklahoma late tonight, so I won't be around. Oh, okay. So, Laura Beth, how would I know if I've partnered up with a political spirit or a religious spirit? If you're not willing to ask that question, that's between you and Jesus. But I would admonish you. I would encourage each person in the room to say, I'm willing to ask that. And in asking that, I believe it starts to show the rudder of the ship of your heart changing. And that's super exciting. We don't do it because of the promise. We don't do it for the breakthrough. We do it because we serve a king and he has no rival. We do it because of this place of this invitation to have intimacy with Jesus in this place of what has held me back from keeping, from knowing you as, like, I know you as Sunday school Jesus. I know you when I have a need, I can come to you. I have seen you move in my life. It's been this ebb and flow of God. What about stepping into this place of sonship, that you and I come into this place of ruling and reigning in a place of dominion and authority that Jesus said in Matthew 16, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that hell will look to rise up, that the enemy does have a three-part plan, that he looks to go in and steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says for those, and in that passage of Matthew 16, he says, I have given you those keys. I've given you, what are you doing with your keys? Well, I can tell you, if you've partnered up with a religious spirit or a political spirit, you won't do anything with those keys. And yet you'll still stand here and sing in a year from now about breakthrough. Let's move past that. Let's be the mature church. Let's rise up and say, no, I want more. I want the fullness of what he did. He left heaven, came to a dirt ball, got in the womb of a woman, passed through human blood to be that perfect gift, that perfect lamb that came came that you and I might just slide by and get by. No. And this is a church that he's saying, move them, shift them, push them, Laura Beth. They're able. You're able to do this. You're able to step into a greater level of victory. You're able to step beyond status quo. You're able to step into dunamis power. You're well able. You've got it. You've got it. The stuff is here. The goods, Jesus will back you up. But it will have to come to this place that I'm willing to turn away from what I thought was important. So for all those overprocessors in the room who are saying, but listen, we had to make some of those stands and we had to make some of those positionings because you don't know the agenda that was going forth and you don't think God did? I mean, it's a real form of pride. It is. I'm going to call it for what it is. It's a form of pride to think, but God, you know, and so I still reposition myself and position myself, Jesus, I only go, I only do, I only say, I only am what you ask me to do, what you ask me to say, who you ask me to. And when you start to have those conversations with Jesus, you'll find yourself in some absolutely incredible surroundings and situations, having conversations that I'm never going to post on social media. I don't go on broadcasts and say what's happening, but I can tell you this. When you make that decision, Jesus says, okay, no political agenda. I can use that. And believe me, we have plenty of opportunity to get in that camp in Ireland. No partnership with a religious spirit. He calls me on it all the time. See, I went to Bible school in Texas and I went to mission school in Oklahoma. I'm fluent in Christianese. I can do and say and do all of that. And often in Europe, they will, especially in Ireland, they'll be impressed by all of that. But that's not what I want to do. I want to see an entire island come into the fullness of what God has called for this landmass that has a Davidic anointing upon it. It's so small, and yet it has a voice in the family of nations to be able to bring direction into the fullness of what God has for Ireland and her destiny. So I'm willing to say, no, I'm not giving my opinion on a particular, we have some massive stuff happening in Ireland at the moment. Brexit wasn't easy, and that was a UK thing, not us, but it has impacted Ireland because of our soft border with the UK. Yes, there is plenty of opportunity for me to get on board with a political agenda. As of August, approximately, Ireland just received 50,000 asylum seekers and refugees from Ukraine from April to August from Ukraine, from the war. We're tiny. I don't know how many Irelands you could fit in Houston. Somebody will give that stat later, but it's a few dozen or more. We're tiny. We have received 50,000 Ukraine. There's all kinds of opportunities to get on board. And yet Jesus is saying right now, the prophets in Europe are saying to the nation who will receive the asylum seeker, the foreigner, the refugee, that is where you will begin to see awakening and outpouring go out. So it is an hour, no matter how uncomfortable. And so what have the Irish people, what have they done? Incredible things of this tiny little nation they've opened up their own homes. They're opening up their own homes and having Ukrainians come in. Language barriers, they're working through it all. And is it flawless? Absolutely not. But kingdom isn't flawless. You and I have led messy lives and Jesus has set us free. And now we're in a place that we're saying, is there anything else that is on my life, in my life, or in my heart that would keep me from walking? Yes, in the place of breakthrough and victory, but just namely as your son who is able to go and do and be and flow in the freedom of what you want. Amen. So let's talk about what needs to shift for for you and I to be able to step into the fullness of that. I believe that there is this call to war against war. And so when you come through the pandemic and you've come through all of this change and different ones in this family, you had loss during the pandemic in your bloodlines. It's been a time of real devastation the world over. Not one of us weren't impacted by it. But when we're coming out of that and you're hearing this place of that Jesus is saying, come into this place of operating with me at this higher level of not allowing these lesser kingdoms to be the tethers that are holding us back, that are keeping us back, then what we have to look and do is that there is, this isn't just in America, this isn't just in Texas, it's not just in South Texas, this is the world over. This want and this need, I spoke about emotion earlier, that you want to just step into, just let's go on to autopilot. Can we just keep everything like calm for a moment? And yet there is a shaking right now that God is all over. Because all of the deconstruction that is happening right now, this is absolutely so exciting to be a part of it. And that's just not a prophet who gets super excited about change. No, this is something that we want to get on board with. So let's look at this passage of scripture in Ezekiel 37, starting with verse 1. We're going to go through a bit of this. And so here's Ezekiel. Here's the prophet Ezekiel, and it said, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. So I want you to hear this word and say, can I look at my life and do I see bones? Do I see some unproductive areas in my life? Do I see some areas in my business that there's no production? Things aren't flowing. Things aren't moving. Do I see repetitive cycles in my family regarding strife and discord? Do I see myself always in this place of chaos that there just always seems to be this need for, okay, if I could just get out of this tight spot, then maybe something. So what do you look at in your life and you see dry bones? You see no movement. It looks like a stagnant area. And then we go on to verse 2. It says, he, meaning God, led Ezekiel back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I speak to you today. And I say, what areas of your life do you see no movement? What areas of the church do you think, man, we know we heard from God on this particular department. We pushed out the boat and yet we're just not seeing fruit on it. Because whatever God is doing, it has to have fruit. Whether it be your health, whether it be your business, your family, whatever, it cannot be God and there not be fruit on it. There has to be fruit on it. So what area, and I'm not giving out to Pastors Scott and Terry. There isn't another church in Texas asking me to come and preach. So I am delighted, and there's reward on this house for honoring the office of the prophet. And we're going to get into a word for you all in a bit. There is reward upon the house that will receive the prophet. Because it's not an easy invitation to give out if it's a true prophet. But you'll always feel love from a true prophet. You'll always see that marker. So anyway, let's get back to this passage. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. We give the same type of answers. We say, how's your health? Only God knows. Have you had a breakthrough in your health? No, but I'm believing for one. God is asking for something much more. He's looking for those who will war with war right now. And look how he calls Ezekiel up. I know most of you are very familiar with this passage of scripture, but let's put it in context to this word that God has given this particular church regarding a political spirit and a religious spirit, and let's put it into context to this. So we're at this place and going, God, only you know that. Who am I? I wouldn't know. I'm seeing very little victory in my life. I've got some unproductive areas. I've got some stagnant areas in my life. God, you're the only one that knows how this is really going to turn out. And then This is what God, this is the part that God says, work with me, Ezekiel. Work with me, church. Work with me, son. Stop acting as orphans. Stop acting as slaves and co-partner with me. That's what the most exciting thing is about this particular epoch of time, is that God is asking us, partner with me here, daughter. Partner here with me, son. Participate with me in this. He said, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as we go through the rest of that passage, we know that this mighty army rises up. There is breath and there is life. And this is a force of God to be reconciled with. That, I'm sorry, to come into this place of war with. That this is an army that God has raised up. And so God is looking to the church the world over. He's looking to the ecclesia the world over. And he is saying, who will rise up and be my voice without agenda, without this place of walking in status quo in the PC political correctness mentality that allows and facilitates you to stay in the place of, I'm very comfortable in my chair, sitting in the same section I always sit in. I don't know who that is that came through the other door that I don't ever come through, but I hope one of the greeters get to know them. You need to go get to know them. You need to ask somebody to lunch this week that you've never asked to lunch. Could be somebody in here, could be somebody on your street. You need to start pushing out the box of what you and I have called church, because it's outside these four walls, not inside these four walls. If we learned anything in the pandemic, it is I am the church. Ireland had some of the strictest restrictions in the EU. I think Denmark might have been more strict than ourselves. For significant periods of time, we could only leave our house for up to an hour a day. And at one point, we couldn't go more than 5 kilometers, which is less than 5 miles. And that was only for the purpose of exercise and essential goods. So it wasn't like that the entire 2 years, but it was longer than most for 30 days at a period. And we had 3 lockdowns. By the third one, I was like, okay, I've got to get off this island. I grew up in the ranch next to the house. We don't have a massive ranch where I grew up and where Aunt Jane grew up, but the ranch next to us is 22,000 acres. And from my house, you can't see another house. And so we're used to like seeing massive space. Where I was at, where I live in Ireland, I was like going, I love you with all that I am, but I cannot look at you any longer. Okay, so what would keep us from speaking to those dry and stagnant areas of our life? What would keep us from moving into that? Well, the word of the Lord that he gave me was a political spirit, a religious spirit. And when I've had to ask myself that in the last 2 years, I realized that he had shown me areas that I didn't think were religious at all. That he said, it's not me. I'm not on it. But it lines up with the word Jesus. We're not talking about the word. We're talking about your heart attitude, your action, your idea of how to lead church, how you think church should be led. I'm not on that, Laura Beth. I'm looking for the man or woman who will allow me to deconstruct and build the way that I want it built, which to be able to do that requires this one thing, deep intimacy with the Lord Jesus. that you are hearing him and that you have those people around you that you're able to share vision with and say, yeah, we're shutting that down. I work with several leaders, but one in particular of a massive work, one of the most fastest growing works that I know of, not that numbers mean anything, but it is a massively growing ministry that I'm connected to in Europe. This particular leadership team, this particular husband and wife team, they have a policy that they have 33, the last I heard, 33 people that are on full-time staff that they know. They regularly just change their staff. You were in PR this week. Okay, you're in children's ministry this week. You're in children's ministry. You're now with the AV media team. You were in the bookshop. Okay, for the next 6 months, you're going to be working with care ministry. In care ministry, oh, that's where you've been for the last 9 months. Okay, now you're in office administration. Some of the people on the staff there are really personal friends. Like, they've stayed in my homes. They're like, well, I'm doing this for the next 6 months, but I really wouldn't be able to. But you know what? It's required in them. They're extremely malleable. They can step into any part of the church, and they are able to minister to a child or to a homeless person. They are able to help in massive conferences that are beginning to see. We're beginning to see all these people gather in Europe. I really believe that there's something shifting in Europe that we've not seen possibly for centuries since Martin Luther. It's an incredible time for Europe at the moment. And that's not me. I've been there full-time since 2007. I first was invited to preach in Ireland in 2005. I've never seen it like this, ever. There is something that is shaking, but I believe it's not limited to Europe. I believe it's not limited to Nepal. I believe it is the ecclesia who will say, yes, we will go low. And whatever is in us, God, that is not a part of what you're looking to do in your new build, we'll lay it down. So we're seeing churches fold. We're seeing new things open up. We're seeing people stepping into leadership that you and I may have not signed off on, but we're seeing this thing happen, and it's new, it's uncomfortable, there is transition. It feels like sandpaper most of the time. There's days that you're thinking, can we just have an easy day, please? And yet, in the whole movement of it, and I was just speaking to a leader since I've been down in Texas, I said, as uncomfortable as it is, I don't see how we could go back. As much as I'm keep looking for that place of going, can we put roots here? And God's going, not yet. No, keep moving. And as much as I'm like going, okay, but this is like really uncomfortable, Jesus. Yeah, go lower, Lord Beth. Okay, but yet, Jesus, I'm being questioned by the religious regime. Why are you doing like that? Are you mine or are you theirs? And so God is looking, and that's not anything about me. That's just sonship. I do and I go and I breathe and I am because I've learned what it means to have intimacy with Jesus in a way that I've never experienced. Jesus loves to sea swim. Like, that's what we call it in Ireland. We call it sea swimming. And I can assure you, I went swimming for 2 days in a row with Amy out past Jamaica Beach. And I can tell you, it's like bathwater here. I hadn't swam in Galveston since I was a child. And I'm used to swimming in the Irish Sea or in the Atlantic. Yeah, it's extremely cold year round. The water temperature only changes actually by a couple of degrees. And we don't use wetsuits. Well, I don't use a wetsuit because it's hugely beneficial. It was one of the popular trends that happened out of all of our lockdowns, because at one point we could start traveling more than 5K or more than 10K, but only within our county. And the county that I live in has incredible, what they call in Europe, blue flag beaches. So they're really pristine, absolutely. What you've thought of Ireland, those kind of beaches, that's the county where I live. And so I'm a golfer. They closed all the golf courses. We couldn't go play golf either. So it was sea swimming. And so Amy and I got in the water a couple of days ago, and I was like going, well, this isn't the Irish Sea. It's so warm. It's just like a bath. But, you know, I've learned that everything I do now, I do with Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, but isn't that what we always do? No, I didn't. I didn't really understand what that part in John meant. I abide in him and he abides in me. Well, I'm sea swimming. So guess what? When you locate Jesus, he loves to swim. He loves to play golf. He loves to go on trips with me. I locate him every time. As soon as we came in here, I located, where are you? Where are you? Oh, okay. With fire in his eyes. He absolutely loves you, and that's why he gives this word. What are the areas of your heart, your life, that you're not seeing any movement? It's stagnant. You know you're stuck in a rut. You actually didn't need the prophet to come and tell you. It is on autopilot. And yet, when you hear this word, it is confirming to you, this is my invite. Not from a woman that calls Ireland home. This is an invite from Jesus, who is absolutely, as we would say in Ireland, mad about you. He loves you so much. And I thought, as I've been in conversation with Terry, and we were just working out the logistics of this, I was like, I wasn't actually, in August I was home to see my mother. I hadn't seen her in almost 4 years. My sister had been over twice to see me, but because of COVID and then because of some transactions that I'm involved in Ireland, it just wasn't optimal for me to travel. And so I could travel within Europe, but I wasn't coming back to the States. So it had almost been just shy of 4 years when I saw my mom in August, my family in Oklahoma. So that was a big trip, and was able to reconnect with a handful of churches that I've partnered with in that area over the years. And this trip wasn't on my books. In one sense, it didn't make, like, when the opportunity came up, like, I was here before all of this unfolded. But I needed to help with some family things, and I needed to help my mom. And, you know, there were some other documents that anyway, there were enough reasons that we could. I just felt Jesus was saying, no, go back. And I was like, gosh, but like any one of those things, I could almost sort remotely, almost. And yet if I put the whole list together, I was like, okay. And then as I've exchanged with Terry over the last few days, and I'm just going to be super like transparent and say, I had to ask Aunt Jane, I go, do I know them? Like, I'm having trouble, like, you know, putting their faces. And she goes, no, you do know them. You do know them. And I was like, right. And then as I continued to message back and forth with Terry, I was like going, oh, is this it, God? Would you send me back just for this church? Was this the reason? Because there's plenty to be sorted in Ireland at the moment. It's a fast-paced time. I went over my schedule yesterday, and this isn't anything about my schedule, but back to Ireland for 4 days, then in Scotland, then back to Ireland, then to the north of England, then back to Ireland, then back to Scotland, then back to Ireland. I was like going, there were so many times that I almost said to my family, I'm not going to make it. There's too much on. And then at some point in the exchange with Terry, I was like going, oh, was this it? Because when he asked you to go and do and say everything that he would ask and go and do and say, convenience really gets factored out. Yeah. It's not really a part of I'll go low before you, Lord Jesus, as long as it's convenient. That really kind of gets factored out. So let's do business. Let's do business. But before we do that, I want to give out some words. And then, Rachel, are you going to come on the keyboard? Yeah. Let's do business. Holy Spirit, I just come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, don't let them go without them knowing how much they love you. So right now, just with your eyes closed and no one looking around, just for the purpose of the intimacy of what Jesus wants to do in your own heart right now. Just let him have this time with you. Stop overprocessing. Stop making those arguments of why you can't sign off on this. Just for a moment, forget about that. Let's just shelve that for a moment. And let's just talk about this place of intimacy with a Lord and Savior, with a King, with a brother, with a father, with a friend who is absolutely obsessed with you. Once your heart, it doesn't matter if you've been serving Jesus 50 years or 5 months or 5 days, he wants more of you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He's given you invite to not stay in the place where you've been. So I'm asking you, if you know in your heart that you're like, Laura Beth, when you first asked that question about a religious spirit or a political spirit, I said no. But as it's continued to go on, not because you've made an argument that convinced me otherwise, but the Holy Spirit has dealt with my heart and something's not right there, that I feel that check in my spirit, man, alerting me that he wants to bring me into the place of what the scriptures call metanoia, into the alignment of God. And so he's looking to align you right now. He's looking to give you an invitation to be aligned. So if you can say, yeah, that's me. I've partnered with a political spirit, not before me, because I won't remember you and I won't remember your hand. But if you know that you've entered into that place, that yes, you've partnered with a political spirit or you've partnered with a religious spirit, that there have been times that you've cut over into Christianese as you've made your argument, or you've looked to do things repetitively in a way because it's super comfortable. See, that was the whole thing about the religious regime that came after Jesus. They were so threatened because they were going to lose control. And so right now, Jesus is saying, what you have looked to control and manage and make sure, are you willing to be wild with him in a place of intimacy that you've not known for a very long time or possibly ever? The religious spirit always looks to be extremely confining and controlling. And that doesn't mean that disorder means that it's God. That's not it at all. But there, when we look at the scriptures, we see this interaction with God. It's full of life, and it's has a sound to it. And I believe that God is wanting to give some of you your voice that has been silenced for a very long time. So if that's you, and again, all eyes closed, no one looking around, if you can say, Laura Beth, I've partnered with a religious spirit. Rather, not me. God, I recognize where you're giving me that check that I've partnered with a religious spirit. Just slip your hand up and slip it right back down. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. I declare freedom. I declare freedom. Jesus, you and you alone bring freedom. And so I declare over every hand that was lifted, I declare that you are free. I declare what has taken your attention. I declare what has held you captive. I declare the arguments that you've entered into. I declare the power of those words broken off of your life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that those snares that have looked to be a tripwire to keep them in the place of not being able to step into the fullness of what you have, I break it off of you in the name of Jesus. It's an assignment from the pit of hell. I don't care what kind of argument you can make. Its root is to look to keep you from the fullness of the life and the breakthrough promises that the Lord Jesus has for you, for this church. It's an assignment. And Jesus is saying, say yes to me, say yes to me, say yes to me. And in that place of giving Jesus your yes, say this, spend my life as you will, Lord God. Say it with me now. Spend my life as you will, Lord God. Okay, we can do better than that. Spend my life as you will, Lord God. One more time. Spend my life as you will, Lord God. Say that. Say that all day long. Say that all week. When you start hearing you say, spend my life, Lord God, as you will. Lord God, you can spend my life as you will. I'm in airports. I'm on trains. I'm in shops. I'm in wherever I'm going. I'm saying that to myself. Lord God, spend my life as you will. You will have some extremely interesting conversation with hurting people. Open your eyes for just a moment. Was on my way to the north of Ireland. It's about an 8 to 10 hour train journey from where I live. That tells you how far south. I'm in like Corpus Christi and I'm taking a train up to like Omaha. That's what it feels like. But I was on this train and I had this one little connection that I had to do in Dublin. So it's almost 4 hours from where I live in the south of Ireland just to get to Dublin. So I'm on this train and I typically take a taxi. It's easier. It's faster, and I'm just like, yeah, I've done every form of public transport for the last 25 years. I'm going to take a taxi. And I had a few months before on the same journey, and on this particular day, that was my plan. Get the direct train from Killarney up to Dublin, get a taxi, get over to Conley Station. There were two more trains to do, but anyway, I had my plan. Somewhere on the way up, God said, don't take the taxi. Holy Spirit said, no taxi this time. And I started to argue with him. And I was like, you know, Jesus, I am not 22 anymore. I want to take the taxi. And he was like going, when you say spend your life as I would have it, do you mean that or is that just talk? I'm like, okay, I'll take the Lewis, which is the tram like connecting to another train. So I'm on it, and I had luggage too. That was part of my argument. It'd be okay if I just had my handbag, but I've actually, and he was like going, yeah, I'm not buying it. Go on the Lewis. So I'm on the Lewis. It does the first stop. It does the second stop. It's only got one more stop until I'm off of it. It is packed. It is so packed. And anyway, and yeah, I'm just sitting there going, why am I on here? There's loads of people around. I'm looking around and I see this girl make eye contact with me. And the Irish aren't huggers. They don't hug. I mean, they will if once they get to know you, but they like really, at first, they like really surface conversation, but they probably wouldn't seek you out unless there was a reason to seek you out for a conversation. So I see this girl, and I can see brokenness all over her, like broken brokenness. And she makes a beeline for me. It's a crowded train. She bends down. No, I was standing up, and she was sitting down. And she said, sit here. And I sat here. And then she got on knee level, and she said, am I going to make it? Like, I don't know this girl's name. I don't know where she's from. And for an Irish person to do that, you're just like going, she looked at me, she goes, am I going to make it? I go, you are going to make it. You're going to make it because you and I are having this conversation. I don't have conversations with people that God doesn't, he's looking to get me to somewhere, not because of me, but because what I carry gives life. It doesn't give death, and I am breaking the death curse off of you. She goes, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I go, you're going to make it. You and I wouldn't be having this conversation. There's been no exchange. No one knows any names. We're in the largest city in the Republic, and a girl walks up to me and says, am I going to make it? And I go, you're going to make it. And she's like, we're talking about over 20 years of addiction. She said, everything that could have happened to me has happened to me. And I said, you're going to make it. Jesus made sure that you and I are having this conversation. And I said, this is my stop. Can you get off? And she said, I missed my stop to stay chatting with you. Let's get off. So we got off and we began to have this conversation. And I said, can I give you a hug? And she was like, really? I go, yeah. Can I give you a hug? She goes, I don't know. And you have to be willing to give people that space. You've got to be willing to say, but the love of Jesus will rise up in you and you'll be able to walk that out. And she goes, yeah, okay, but not very long. I go, that's okay. And as I began to hug her and the tears began to come, she said, that's as much as I can do. And I said, that's okay. Jesus had his way, and she ran as fast as she could. But she got that moment with Jesus. So he's looking for those things in us that we will do and go and say as sons, not as slaves. If that was you today and you responded to that part of that political agenda or that religious spirit. So what the prophet does is they come in and they give that directional word that allows you to identify an area that is out of alignment with God. But you'll always see the consolation of God when he comes on there. You're going to be able to do this. You're going to step out of what you were in when you walked in here, and you're going to step into something new, and he's inviting you. This is the thing that you go and do now. You go and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me what steps. This is a super mature church. I don't get the privilege or opportunity to preach in churches like this about 90% of the time. I can't think of a church this mature that I've preached at in the last 5 years. So you're well able for this. You can do this. This is a grown-up assignment, and you're well able as a mature believer to step into this, to have that dialogue with the Lord God. What do I need to do and change, Holy Spirit, that I've been doing? It may be that you stop listening to a particular radio program. Let the Holy Spirit, you don't need the prophet to tell you what to do. You're well able to hear his voice and to say, when I engage with that particular person, it always goes back to the same point. I just need to cause some distance till I can get on my feet in this one particular area because I can see where it's been a tripwire for me and I need to step out of that repetitive behavior. Could be a television program that, you know, when we went into our lockdowns, God gave me some really specific rules who I was allowed to listen to. No news. No news. I didn't listen to any news. I didn't listen. There were only 3 prophets he allowed me to listen to. It got very narrow and absolutely no secular TV. I am not preaching that as a word that everybody's supposed to do that. But what I am saying is when you're willing to have those conversations with the Holy Spirit, how do I walk this out? He will give you very specific things. Now I can watch something. Now, it was for a particular time he asked me to fast secular TV, so I did for over a year, and it was massively beneficial to me. But that's not for everyone. He gave me a specific thing to do, and he will to you as well.